This is Judith Leigh saying Moramai, good morning and welcome, as once again the island's Christian community is at your service. Manx Radio. 5 years ago this weekend, the island lost one of its finest Manx men. A respected farmer, a member of the Manx Farmers Union for over 50 years and its longest-serving president, a commissioner, justice of the peace, captain of his parish for over 20 years and a very popular presenter here on Manx Radio. You've probably already guessed that I'm talking about John Kenyuk, who died on the 21st of September 2015 after a short illness. On this fifth anniversary of John's death, I thought we might reflect on another aspect of his life that actually underpinned everything else that he did, and that was his work as a Methodist local preacher. Today we're remembering John as a man of God who moved effortlessly from the farmyard to the pulpit, pausing just long enough to exchange his overalls and cap for his smart suit and his well-used Bible. When he knew that he wouldn't recover from his illness, John didn't want anyone to be sad for him, repeatedly telling his beloved family and his many friends that he had had a wonderful life and believed absolutely that something even more wonderful was now waiting for him, a belief that summed up in the words of a hymn that John chose for us to sing at his funeral and that's our opening hymn today. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. The Celebration Choir and Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, one of the hymns reflecting the deep, unshakable faith that carried John Kenyuk through every aspect of his life. John was never happier than when he was at the service of others in some capacity, so I think it's particularly appropriate that as we mark this anniversary of his passing, we're at your service today, using John's own thoughts previously aired here on Manx Radio, which so often showed how his love and understanding of the natural world drew him to a closer love and understanding of the nature and purposes of God. It was Mrs. Elaine Christian, a lifelong friend, colleague and, like John, a Methodist local preacher, who had the unenviable task of delivering the eulogy at John's funeral, which she did superbly. Her words now are the perfect introduction to John's own thoughts.
Well, I think everything was driven by John's strong Christian faith. He said to me not long ago that he just felt that God had always been there for him, that it was part of his life. For him, it was as natural as breathing to be able to talk about God and what he felt in his heart that he saw every day around him. And I think why he was so liked by the local communities around the island, the villages and all the little far-flung chapels, was because he always seemed to have time to listen to them, share their stories, share their joys, share their sorrows. And I know that he's been asked so many times to do people's eulogies simply because they knew he would put over the true sense of the person that had died. And I think it was the fact that he had a listening ear. He felt that he was set here to serve. And that's why he got involved in so many of the community things.
The older I get, it's the more I realise that I just haven't got what I need. I've got what I want. Left school at 15, I went to work on a farm because that's all I ever wanted to do. And right down through the years, I can look back now and I honestly believe that that was the course that God had planned for me.
John loved the Guild, the Manx Music Festival. He had a lifelong involvement as a supportive spectator and as a competitor. He loved to sing and to take part in the spoken word classes. But for John, the Bible reading in which he regularly took part was less of a competition and more of a chance to share God's word.
These words are written in the 7th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, and I begin to read at the first verse. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools, for as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defence, and money is a defence. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. This is the end of the reading.
It's the unchanging nature of God that inspired the thoughts we're going to hear now. But John himself was unchanging, always genuine and always speaking straight from his heart. But John lived in the real world, and so, as you'll hear, he would often point out that the God who can be seen in the glory of creation is also the God who reaches out to us, offering hope and comfort in painful times. Truly a God for all seasons.
I have the remarkable privilege of being a Methodist local preacher, and on most Sundays I'll be involved in a church service somewhere on the island. I'm often asked, where did you get your inspiration for these services every week? And when I think about it, I realise that my work on the land and among cattle and sheep is in itself inspiring. Though here I must add, not every experience is suitable for use on a Sunday. But there are moments, sometimes just a fleeting glimpse, a moment when I know for sure who we are, where we live, what we eat and what we wear is evidence of a creating, living and sustaining God. I'll be bringing to you some of the scenes that I see in the Manx countryside, some of the work that I'm involved in farming, some of the natural order that I live with that confirm my faith. When Jesus said, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it stays just as it is," I know exactly what he means. I've only to look over the gate of the field sown to barley when he talks about flowers and birds. I live and work among them. And when God says springtime and harvest won't fail, I depend on that for a living. When Jesus says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you," well, I can believe and understand that in the same way as I understand or trust the things I see in the course of my work as a farmer or my life as a countryman. In recent times, I find myself drawn more and more towards Celtic spirituality. Maybe that's because I'm a farmer, living close to the land and involved closely with nature. Maybe it's because in that lifestyle I find help in understanding the meaning of life, for it has a rhythm, a purpose, and a sense of direction. But perhaps it's because I'm part of this modern society, with its political spin, its plastic money, its temporary attitude to arrangements. Oh, don't misunderstand me. I'm not against change. I'm glad we've changed some things. But let's view them with the right degree of importance, the importance that they deserve. The ancient Celts found that the elements of soil and water and air and fire and rock, the sun and the moon, were unchanging. And this belief led them to their creator, the unchanging God. If we follow their philosophy, we will be able to say with St. Paul that Jesus Christ is indeed the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Someone suggested to me some time ago that technology was just waiting for man's imagination. Gadgets and wizardry are progressing so fast that we're in grave danger of losing our sense of wonder. You've only just marvelled at what a gadget can do when you discover that it has been superseded and it's now out of date. And what about mystery? It does seem as though nothing may remain a mystery, but must be explained to whatever is the level of our understanding. And if it's not, then we won't accept it. Last week on the farm, we drilled the barley, the oats and the peas, seeds sown to produce next autumn's harvest. I've been doing that now for more years than I care to remember, and every year the first sign of bruit, the first green shoot of corn, fills me with wonder. I can't explain what happens, and the good thing is I don't need to know. All I need is the faith to put the seed in the ground and the belief that it will grow. No more do I know how God raised Jesus on that first Easter day, but like the barley and the oats, it calls for faith and belief. Thank you.
As a farmer, I've watched nature correct some of the mistakes I've made, either through ignorance or arrogance. And she has wonderful methods of getting her own way and humbles us when we see her superiority. A modern combine harvester may not be steered along the cut by a driver, but by a GPS system. And you may find the way in your car using sat-nav. And we marvel at man's skill and inventiveness. And yet Alan Jackson at Kerogarwan Griba told me of a bird that had been ringed in a field in Cornwall with a microchip in the ring, so the bird was observed wherever he flew. He was observed, in fact, flying out of Cornwall, across to France, and then to Belgium, Poland, and eventually Russia. He actually returned to the very same field in Cornwall, but not by the same route. Indeed, he came by Norway, Sweden, and Denmark. And we think that we're clever. And that's why nature humbles us. And we interfere with the very delicate balance of nature in the wild at our peril. From my earliest days, I never wanted to be anything other than a farmer. I suppose that, apart from the fact that I was born into a farming family, is to be expected. I saw the work as being meaningful with a real sense of purpose. To produce food for those who don't have the facility to do it for themselves seemed then, and still does today, entirely worthwhile. But my role as a farmer is just part of the process. I may cultivate the land and sow the seed, but I can't make it grow. I can hope that it will rain to water the young plants. I can hope that the sun will shine at harvest time. I can hope that the seed I saved last year will germinate this year. Or I can believe and trust in the Creator God. The first signs of autumn are already beginning to appear. What John Keats described as the season of mists and mellow fruitfulness is almost upon us. The hawthorn is beginning to form the skegs, the wild rose is going now, and already the rose hips are beginning to appear behind the flower. The elderberries have replaced the elder flower on the tramen, and already the harvest is just about beginning. The whole purpose of germination, growth, and maturity is there for all to see. God's provision for the creation that He Himself created. The countryside has inspired many a poet and many a composer, and there is much to inspire us, just if we have the eyes and the ears to appreciate it. As a farmer, I'm privileged to see and work within the faithfulness of nature. Land that I have ploughed in 2014 has been turned over and over by successive generations since time immemorial. And with the harvest looking promising, and indeed already started, we would do well to remember the care, the diligence, and sometimes the sacrifice whereby that fertility was preserved. You know, it saddens a farmer to hear land being classified as lifestyle land. For us, it is life-preserving land. So each time the season turns, each time the faithfulness of nature can be observed, let everyone recognize the precious gift of productive land, especially on an island, where our independence is also highly valued. The northern end of Slewellyn Mountain rises steeply above the valley just west of St. John's, and even on a sunny day there is a long shadow, and it's a cold, miserable experience if you're living under that shadow. But as the sun gets higher, the shadow recedes, until on the longest day the whole valley is bathed in glorious warm sunshine, with all the evidence of high summer. Well, if it's a wintry time for you at the moment, if things look a bit grey and a bit miserable, and if you're living under that shadow, look for the evidence. Look for the evidence of the hope that is God's hope, the evidence of the shadow receding, the sun getting higher, things getting better, the Christian hope that sustains us when things aren't as easy as they might be. Was it last September, I know we were still in the harvest, when I drove past a hotel not far from where I live to see a poster up. Book now for Christmas Day. As I went past, I had to smile, and I thought, if only Joseph had seen such a poster like that, he could have saved himself a lot of hassle and made his wife more comfortable as well. I don't know how you picture the inside of a cattle shed or a stable, but listen to how T.E. Brown described it. Well, winter come, and then the cows were going to milking in the house. And if you want peace and quietness, then in a cow-house you'll get it the best. For the place is so warm, and their breath so sweet, and nice straw bedding about their feet, and there's hardly any light at all, just a dip stuck on the wall, and them yocked there in the dark like ghosts, and feeling for one another's noses. Sometimes it's making me feel quite queer to see them standing so orderly there. Is it the Lord that's making them stand so still? Oh, I like them craters terrible. Aye, aye. The say for the like of us is God's own work, though treacherous. But for peace and for quiet and that, d'ye see, among the cows is the place for me. Well, warm and comfortable as it may be, it's not the place you would have chosen for your wife to have her first baby, or any baby. But I believe that God did it to demonstrate that nobody, in whatever circumstance, was ever beneath his love and his care.
This morning, we've been at your service through the thoughts of the late John Kenyuck, who died 5 years ago this weekend. As a farmer and a Methodist local preacher, John loved to celebrate Harvest Thanksgiving in the island's rural chapels, when often the Manx fisherman's evening hymn would be included in the service. So perhaps that's an appropriate way to end this morning, with a version sung by the choir of which John was a proud member for many years, the Glenfaber Chorale.
Thank you.
And that's almost all we have time for today. With the first signs of autumn come the first of our Harvest Thanksgiving services. Glen May Chapel's very popular Harvest in the Barn is next Saturday the 26th at 6:30 at Ballacregan Farm, Glen May. Crosby Silver Band will play traditional harvest hymns and Reverend Richard Hall will preach. There'll be refreshments and an auction of produce after the service. And Ballacregan Farm is at the end of Sound Road. Just go to the bottom of Glen May Hill and follow the signs to Harvest in the Barn. Next Sunday, the 27th, Union Mills have a family harvest service at 10:15, led by Reverend Rebecca Ingruel, and an evening service at 6:30, when the preacher will be Mrs. Brenda Kinnish, with soloist Alan Wilcox and supper afterwards. St. Luke's in Baldwin also have a harvest service at 6:30 next Sunday evening, and a harvest concert on Monday the 28th. There'll be more about that on Sundown tonight. Mrs. Elaine Christian, who you heard earlier in this programme, will be in Ballykilferrick Chapel next Sunday afternoon, the 27th, at 3:00 for a Harvest Thanksgiving, where she'll be joined by soloist Paul Costain. And we finish with the Royal Artillery Association Memorial Service in St. Thomas's Church, Finch Road, here in Douglas, next Sunday afternoon at 2:30 to remember, along with their families, the members of the Royal Artillery Association who passed away during the COVID-19 lockdown restrictions. This service welcomes all who lost friends and family but were unable to attend the funerals because of the COVID-19 restrictions in place at the time. There'll be refreshments afterwards. As always, my special thanks to you for your company. Do please keep letting me know the hymns and sacred music that you'd like to hear on the programme. You can email me any time on judithleigh@manxradio.com, and Leigh is spelled L-E-Y. For early risers, the podcast of this programme is available every week from 7 a.m. You can find the podcast on our website, manxradio.com, and on the Manx Radio smartphone app. I'll be back here next Sunday morning, either as a podcast from 7 a.m. or on your radio at 9:30, when the Christian community of the island will once again be at your service. But right now, to those you love and those that you're perhaps not able to visit at present, this is Judith wishing you a safe and blessed week and a very good morning. Manx Radio.